This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Birdie leads at second. Suzuki at first. And the 2-2 from Aiken. Swing and a miss. Strike three and the ball game is over. Pete swinging and missing. Tough loss for the Cubs.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw that. This is Raheem Anharis on 670 The Score. That was Pat Hughes. Ron Coomer on the call. That was Pete Crow Armstrong striking out to end the game Saturday against the Orioles that they lost 4-3. That was a tough one. And then it got worse from there, as we saw. So the Cubs take on the Cardinals. That is a three-game series that is nationally televised. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 670 The Score. And it's, again, where we try to figure out who this Cubs team is following the trade deadline and moving forward, while the Brewers just remain an absolute unit, wagon, whatever you want to call it. They're breathing down everybody's necks at a breakneck speed.
Yeah, they've been nonstop. Cubs had to go maximum effort to get 2 out of 3 from Baltimore. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati. So I love how you put it. Who is this team right now? I still think I know who this Cubs team is. I do think this team is more like the team that won that final game of the series against the Reds, hitting 3 homers and winning the game 6-1. I think that has been what the season has been, more than not. So I do think that they will revert to something like that. The good news for the Cubs tonight that they get to start it with a bang, because Matthew Boyd is the man on the mound for the Cubs tonight. And I'm just looking like through where he ranks with some of the numbers that he's had this year. Boyd, 11-4. If you're still into wins, he is fourth in that category. He is 2.34 ERA. That is fifth in the bigs. His whip of 103 is ninth best in the league, and he will go up against one Michael McGreevy.
Who?
Michael McGreevy.
Does he hang out in the not real baseball player department with Zach McKinstry?
I think he hangs out with Chris Ronji. That's where he is.
Michael McGreevy hangs out with Chris Ronji?
Maybe.
I always knew Chris Ronji loved the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's a cool name. I like the Michael McGreevy name. It's so Cardinal because, like, who is this guy? Who is Michael McGreevy?
That was Zach McKinstry for me.
That was Zach McKinstry.
I was like, are you real?
Yeah. And there's been so many Cardinals over the years who have not felt real. But I did some digging on Mr. McGreevy. Turns out he's real.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Here's the... I'll play the hits. 25-year-old righty was the 18th overall pick in 2021. After not getting drafted out of high school, he went to UC Santa Barbara and then became a first-round pick. That's how you do it.
The Gauchos. Or are they the Banana Slugs? One of them is the Gauchos, and one of them is the Banana Slugs.
This UC Santa Barbara?
Yeah. I used to know their mascot off the top of my head.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cal State Fullerton, where Justin
UC Santa Barbara is the Gaucho.
Hey, look at that.
What is a Gaucho? Anybody?
Well, they're
a
pair
like a Groucho?
Pants that are black and cropped, but they're wide leg.
Okay.
I don't think they're named after the pants.
So, Gauchos are pants?
No.
Gauchos.
A gaucho is a cowboy of the South American Pampas. Pampas.
Gaucha. Didn't Dan McNeil have gaucha? Or that was gout. Yeah.
That's gout.
Gout.
None of this makes me think this guy is real.
Well, okay. So he had 3 starts last year, 1 relief appearance at a 196 ERA. He has had back-to-back bad starts against San Diego. That's the bottom line for you Cubs fans, for you guys maybe wanting to put a few shekels on the game tonight. Last 2 games, he gave up 4 runs on August 2nd, 7 hits, and then against San Diego on 7/27, he allowed 7 runs. So I want the Cubs to be familiar with him, because sometimes you don't know who these Cardinals guys are. Now I've told you about Michael McGreevy. Don't be surprised about anything with Mike McGreevy.
He plays with PJ Higgins and Zach McKinstry at TGI Fridays and the imaginary baseball team. No, he's real.
Not Mike McCready of Pearl Jam.
I do also want to point out, though, that one of the most frustrating parts about Saturday's loss against the Orioles was that was a wasted Matt Boyd start. He had a tremendous performance in that game. He went 7 innings. He gave up only 4 hits, no runs, 8 strikeouts to no walks. I mean, that was just an outstanding outing from him.
And a recovery outing, Layla, because he had had the dud against Milwaukee. So you're just like, okay, just make sure that was a one-time thing. Okay, cool. We're good.
And this is a Cubs team that badly needs run support for guys like Boyd. And I didn't think I would be saying that on August 8th at this point in time. But we're still seeing some of the habits that have reared their ugly heads, especially since that trade deadline. And you're right. Is it going to be the team like we saw beat the Reds in dominating fashion, 6-1? I think another question is, the last time that the Cubs played the Cardinals, Mark, there was like 7 people in the stands in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, you know, that part of the ballpark is just hot. It's St. Louis. It's been hot. They show up even in the heat. I know, because I've been at games in St. Louis at Cardinals Stadium when they've had teams there that weren't good. So I wonder what the fans are going to do this time around.
Well, that's what made me start to think, is the Brewers rivalry taking over the Cubs Cardinals?
I don't think it has been for years.
I think it's sort of like Packers Vikings, because the Bears were so irrelevant as far as winning for so long that became the actual better games. But the bloodlines of Cubs Cardinals will never go away. The last time the Cubs played at the bloodline.
Also, there's Bears a lot line. Of texters Bajent? Saying that the last call about Bajent was the bloodline guy.
Oh, man, maybe that's why that was in my head. The Cubs split the 4-game series at Busch in June, but let me take you guys back to a very happy time. That was July 4th weekend when the Cubs took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. The Cubs in that series, they outscored St. Louis 28-11. In one of those was the famous Michael Busch 3-run home run game. So there is evidence to suggest the Cubs can get back on track with the bats against St. Louis pitching, which is not as good as it once was because they lost a couple of guys like Ryan Helsley at the trade deadline. Steven Matz, you don't have to worry about him anymore. He is not walking through that bullpen door for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was one of those defining series for the Cardinals where it told them, you're not going to be buyers at the deadline. And there was a time where we were trying to figure out what they were going to do regarding where they thought they were relative to the other teams. And then Milwaukee quietly was going on a buzzsaw of a tear over 2 months. I say all of that to also point out that this could also be a defining series for the Cubs in this way. Like, are you going to be another team where we're talking about you salvaging the series? Are we going to be talking about a team where you again didn't give Boyd run support? I don't think that's the case today. But until we see some clear hitting out of guys who aren't Michael Busch, you know, the ones, and credit to him and credit to also what we've seen out of the other guys like Matt Shaw, for example, what we've seen out of the improvement out of other players on this team. The two for me are PCA and Kyle Tucker. So Ron Coomer was on this morning with David Haw talking about what he's seen out of Pete Armstrong.
I would say from the outside, somewhat of an outsider's perspective, from watching every day, that Pete is trying to hit a 5-run homer almost every time he's up to the plate. You know, and you can now the last ball game he didn't get the hits, but he hit the ball the other way. He flew out twice to left field. And I'm trying to think what he did. He might have punched out in his third at bat. But he still, the approach was back towards left center field. And I'm like, oh, there we go. You know, I think for a young player like Pete, who's an emotional player to begin with, and the team is struggling and everybody's looking for him to be one of the catalysts because he had such a good first half, I really think he gets over aggressive and the league caught up with him a little bit. And they said, you know what? We're not going to throw this young guy strikes. And if he's going to keep swinging, we're going to keep throwing pitches out of the zone. And that's what they did for a while, and they're still doing it. But at least the last couple of days, he's taking more pitches, you know. And I just, you know, there are times where you can see young players walking to home plate, and you just want to tell them, breathe, just breathe, slow things down. I played with a guy in New York named Derek Jeter. I never met a guy that could lower his blood pressure and his heart rate better than Derek. And it was just amazing. The bigger the situation, the more he was like sitting having his cup of coffee. You know, he was like, oh, you know, come to the mound and the place is going up for grabs. And he's just like, I think for, you know, I think for Pete, those are skills that either you have as a young person that, you know, God's given you, or there's something that can be taught and learned. But I think for right now, I think those are things that he can, you know, slow things down, breathe, get control. There's something to be said about some of the sports psychologists in the world that have helped a lot of players, me included, on how to deal with not failure, but just the pressure of the inner workings of the game and how to control that. And I think for right now, Pete is sometimes getting a little overamped and he's up there swinging away.
That was Ron Coomer. This segment on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. That also speaks to a segment we're going to do at 12:45 discussing one Andrew Vaughn. But when I consider that Pete Crow Armstrong, when he's hitting home runs, will hit them anywhere in the zone, including many that are out of the zone, and that there has been an adjustment that the league has made to him, I feel like all of that is incredibly valid when it comes to what we have seen recently. The league will catch up to you as a hitter. They will know what you like, and they will try to make sure that you're not getting any of that. And I think that's what we're seeing.
I think the Cubs, from the beginning of the season or when PCA started to get hot, when there was the revelation that, oh, he's hitting the baseball and he's hitting the ball out of the park, the Cubs' philosophy was, we're going to let him be him until it's not working anymore. Because there's all sorts of easy pickings when it comes to PCA in terms of, and I am air quoting, flaws when it comes to the game. As Ron Coomer said, you can't swing to try to hit a 5-run home run in every at-bat. That's what he's been doing. And he's had amazing success being that guy, trying to hit home runs. That's what PCA has been doing this year. But it's all of a sudden, it's not working being him. So now you have to gently say, as Coomer was, here's an adjustment. Then the emotional part of his game comes in. Coomer mentioned that he's emotional. You have to breathe. These are all things that we've been sort of collecting and saying, we don't really have to make a big deal out of those things. But when the slump starts, then we have to adjust. And what you just said, Layla, that other teams, we knew this was going to happen.
Yep.
Of course, other teams are taking this man seriously. This is an MVP candidate. Word has gotten around, and it's time for PCA now and the Cubs hitting staff to adjust and get him back together.
The last day that Pete Crow Armstrong hit a home run was the 23rd of July against the Royals in an 8-4 loss.
Okay. Well, that's still not that. I mean, it hasn't gotten crazy yet, but
it's a little farther away for our guy, Kyle Tucker. That was the 19th of July, the only home run he hit in that month, in a 6-0 win over the Boston Red Sox. Well, Coom also talked about what he's seen out of Kyle Tucker as well.
No, I would say it'll come back. I would guess that his finger is okay now. But this is a guess. I'm just guessing that his finger's okay, but he did get himself into some bad habits. I think he did, you know, some things that, and we all go through. This isn't like, you know, because Kyle's a great player, it's surprising that he goes through this. It's just great players, usually this period of time is short. But when you're dealing with an injury and, you know, you're doing some other things, it happens. So I expect him to get hot again this season and have another one of them roles where he carries the ball club. And then what he does, he affects the rest of the group because he's on base all the time and they quit pitching to him. So I expect the offense and everybody to kind of catch fire again and really put the pressure on Milwaukee for sure.
Maybe the finger's okay, but Kyle Tucker wasn't talking like that, though, the other day.
No, he was just like, well, I got to just deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if you just dealt with it too much.
So this is big then, because he's gotten the 2 days off. I think, like, some people are like, why don't they just put him on the injured list? Let him like reset the guy. That's what they did. They're trying the 2-day break with Kyle Tucker. But if he's still not Kyle Tucker over the next 3 games and his fingers, there's still discomfort, do you reset him? Can you afford to put him on the 10-day DL at this point in the season and bring up a certain rookie?
Oh,
see
when Kate.
I'm just saying.
See, I do want to also point this out. He played in the All-Star game. You know, and a lot of guys like Matt Boyd sat it out because they wanted to make sure that they were healthy for this specific time of the year, September, October.
October. Rocktober.
Hopefully. Hopefully. Not Rocked. I don't think Rocktober's happening this year, Mark.
Why?
I just, you know, I just don't think they've got it in the cards for them that they're going to make the playoffs. Oh. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant the actual Rocktober, like somehow rock and roll was not going to be here.
I meant Rocky's October, a.k.a. Rocktober.
I thought she canceled rock and roll.
the day Layla canceled rock and roll.
That is never going to happen in this house.
No, not in this house.
No.
Hey, we're sponsoring a rock festival on this here station.
That's right. Yeah, we're partnering with Riot Fest. It's the exact opposite, actually.
Yeah.
Ripping your pillow tight.
That's going to be one of the acts.
Is there Metallica's at? No.
No, Grody and Dustin.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
Where is Rhodes? We got to work on that.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay. The haw part is the best. Okay.
The band will
That's
be
enough.
Called...
He's had enough of your act.
No, haw's amused.
Poor
He's
David.
Amused.
And you could tell that he was trying... It's like corralling a teenager. Grody was just bouncing off the walls.
You talk about the Metallica singing right there?
Metallica.
Oh, no, I think Haw's in on it, though.
Haw, oh, yeah.
Haw's a serious guy.
Why?
But he likes the silliness. He likes the goofiness.
Haw's a newsman, but he's a newsman with a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, I'm really excited, actually, about the recent White Sox, like, resurrection of fandom publicly that we're hearing from Brad Biggs on the air. It makes me really happy.
When you hear Biggs talking baseball,
yes,
that makes you happy. Yeah,
Brad Biggs talks baseball with you.
You'd rather hear him talk about Colson Montgomery than Colston Loveland.
I want to hear all of it. Yeah. I need Brad Biggs' thoughts on all of the things.
The Sox are emerging as a wagon.
Brad Biggs talks White Sox with you.
By the way, the Sox on pace now to only lose 101 games.
Can we just look at that?
Yeah, Grody's distracted because on WGN they have a cat up for adoption
right
now.
Oh my goodness, it's just a baby.
How's Dave?
Dave is doing great.
Is he curled up in a box somewhere?
It's the summer of Dave.
Every season is the season of Dave.
The update on Dave is he loves these hot temperatures.
He does?
He really does. He likes to bask. I've got the sliding glass door in my place, and he loves to just bask near the sun. When the sunshine hits that spot, that's where he goes.
Does he go outside?
No, this is not an outdoor cat. I live in a high rise. I don't think that I would want to let my cat loose in the South Loop.
Some cats go on balconies.
Oh, no. I don't I don't even let my cat near the door because I just don't want to take the chance on him and running up the screen because cats will do stuff like that.
They will.
I want Dave alive.
He's so fluffy. Coming up next here on 670 The Score, this is Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Grody. Shout out to Dave the Cat. We find out what the Bears are worth. Because they had to have a valuation done when they have shares that are available for sale, thanks to, unfortunately, the passing of a previous shareholder. So a person who has a lot of information about it is Evan Nobe Williams, and he is the deputy editor at Sportico, who was able to get his hands on the information. He joins us with that and more coming up next.
We've said for many years that we intend to own the Bears for as long as possible. Another 100 years would be great. She set it up for us to accomplish that. Now we got to execute the plan. And we're prepared to do that.
That still brings a lot of emotion even to just hear. That was George McCaskey.
I love George.
Talking about the passing of his mother,
yeah,
Virginia.
Just got to tug at your heartstrings a little bit. I don't care how you feel about the organization.
And God willing, you're here with that quality of life for that long. So to be able to do that, I can't imagine even now.
Amen.
How hard that must have been for him to have to say and follow up with from a business/family standpoint. This is Raheem Ann Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And the reason we bring it up is because there is going to be some sort of ownership change in the structure of the Bears, not with the McCaskey family in this case. And that is why we go to the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. We are happy to be joined by the one who is digging on this story, Evan Nobe Williams. He is the deputy editor at Sportico. You can see him on Twitter, X, at Novi underscore Williams. He also joins us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Evan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Layla.
The reason we wanted to talk to you is because we finally get a number, and it's especially important given what's going on with the Bears stadium plans about what the Bears could be worth. And you reported $8.8 billion, according to multiple people familiar with the details. We know that the reason that number exists is because of an ownership stake change as far as some shares due to the passing of a previous owner. What can you tell us about the number and how this process came to play for you?
Yeah, this has been in the works for a few years now in Chicago. When Andy McKenna passed away in 2023, there was an open question about where his equity, if it was sold, would go. And there was a bit of a disagreement, from what I understand, between the Ryan family and the McCaskey family about who had the first right of first refusal in terms of buying up those shares. And as we reported this week, an agreement has been reached. It's a little over 2%. And from what I have been told, the Ryans and the McCaskeys are going to share in that. So they're each going to take pieces of that. But as you said, it was priced cash transaction. And always interesting to see where valuations pop up in the NFL, because stakes don't sell all that much. And $8.8 billion, it's the largest valuation we've ever seen for an NFL franchise. I think it's not going to last very long as a record because the Giants are selling equity right now. But it does show both the strength of the NFL as a business and also where the Bears sit in that hierarchy.
So would it be fair then to say that you're not surprised that this $8.8 billion number came out of this?
I'm not surprised. This is a weird transaction in that it's not really an open. If you or I wanted to buy this stake, it probably was not an option for us, right? This was almost definitely going to go to one of the existing families that owns the Bears. So in some ways, it was not an open market. And the Bears, would they fetch more or less if the entire thing was sold? They'd probably fetch more, to be totally honest. But yeah, this is just a little bit of an insight into where things stand. And you guys mentioned the stadium. There's going to be a lot more interesting financial stories coming out about this ownership group and what they're planning to do. So this maybe just sets the stage for that as well.
Well, I think that's a good part of this, Evan, because sometimes people don't necessarily know what goes into how a team gets valued, especially when, for example, the same ownership bought the team for $100. So when you consider that part of it, I think it is good to point out what drives value, and a stadium is part of that. Who owns it, for example? I know that's always gone into the Forbes valuations of teams. What went into this one as far as how much you think the Bears are, I guess, and others, of course, think the Bears are worth?
Yeah, it's good. It's good context to think about the fact that the Bears are one of the 10 or 12 most valuable teams in the league, and they don't own their stadium, right? And if you look at the most valuable teams in the NFL, you have the Cowboys at number one. They own not just their stadium, but a whole complex down in Texas. You have the Rams at number two. They have the most expensive NFL stadium ever built. So yes, the economics of owning your stadium certainly drive valuation. And the Bears, despite the fact that they have not succeeded all that much on the field in recent decades, are one of the kind of blue blood NFL brands. Chicago is one of the most populous cities in the country. It's a huge media market. There are a ton of Bears fans, not just in Chicago, but in adjacent areas. One of the things that people think about when valuations is kind of how big the footprint is of their fandom. And there's a huge part of the Midwest, as you know, that is the Bears zone of fans in the U.S. So it's a mix, I think, for the Bears of, one, there's going to be a new stadium coming soon that people understand. We haven't figured out exactly where or how it's going to be, but it's coming at some point. And then also, obviously, just the fact that this is one of the, if most people think about original and most valuable brands in the NFL, the Bears are certainly up there.
Yeah, that's a shot in the arm, I think, in a way, Evan. We're talking to Evan Novi Williams. He is the deputy editor at Sportico, helping us clarify why the Bears are valuated at $8.8 billion. And I think that was one of the first things I thought of was, I don't necessarily know that a lot of people thought that the Bears would be considered that pricey. You know, I mentioned the Cowboys earlier. You mentioned the Giants. You also mentioned the Rams and their situation. One of the comps here in this article is also the 49ers. You know, what can you tell us about some of the previous valuations that have been done that help lead to this number?
Yeah, so so there have been a few stake sales recently in the NFL. The Eagles and the 49ers and the Dolphins have all sold relatively small minority stakes. Again, those are different because that is kind of open auction, as we discussed earlier. And all of those in the range of the low $8, high $7 billion. One of the things that's interesting in the NFL right now is that, like the other leagues, the NFL recently changed its ownership rules to allow institutional funds and private equity funds to invest in teams. And I think a lot of people thought that when they made that change, you would see a flood of institutional funds buying into the NFL. What's happened is kind of the opposite. A lot of equity has been on the market recently, and we're finding individual rich human beings that are willing to buy those stakes. And it's worked out really well for teams because individuals have a different kind of price sensitivity than institutional funds do. So in some ways we're seeing, again, not in the Bears case, but in some of these other teams, you mentioned the 49ers, the Eagles, they sold those equity to rich people. And a lot of rich people think, I just want to own a piece of this team, and if it costs me $150 million or costs me $180 million, I don't really care that much. So in some ways, you see these valuations getting propped up to a degree by who it is who's buying in. But the NFL is the richest sports league in the world. It is the most popular entertainment product in America, bar none. And there's only 32 franchises. Right. And I don't think NFL expansion is happening anytime soon. If it is, they're not going to add too many teams. This is a limited supply of assets. And again, even the small stakes don't come on the market that much. So if you are a wealthy person and interested in sports, the opportunity to buy into an NFL team, regardless of where it is or what the price is, sometimes is too good to pass up.
I think you bring up a good point, though, that I want to dwell on a little bit. And that's, you know, the advice that people say, well, billion-dollar corporations don't have a budget, and if they can, so can your home, right? And when you consider individuals, I think it's important that you noted it's not necessarily the best investment for businesses whose job is to make the best investment. This seems to be a billionaire plaything type of emotional buy.
Yeah, I think that's true. And NFL, to be clear, these teams are tremendous businesses, right? They spin off $150 million of cash, basically regardless of who's running it, regardless of how well they do. And then obviously it can go higher up from that. The NFL is great business, but you're right. If you're an institutional fund and you want to own assets for 5 years and at the end of it, cash out a 20% appreciation and then move elsewhere. You're probably not going to outbid the really rich billionaire who just wants his kids to have fancy season tickets and go into the locker room and also put on his business card that he's an owner of the 49ers and then move on. So it's a totally different set of, and in this regard, also the Bears are quite interesting because from what I understand, some teams will give their minority shareholders a ton of perks and a lot of benefits. And I don't think the Bears have historically operated that way. This is more of a kind of a mom and pop family business than a lot of these more modern ownership groups. I think in some ways it varies by team as you think about different teams, different markets, and honestly, when these teams were purchased. Because as you mentioned earlier, the Bears have been in the same family for over 100 years.
Every single scorehead listening right now, Don't deny it. If you were one of those billionaires, you totally want to buy a piece of the Bears to have your name on it. I would do it too if I was a billionaire.
100%.
So I get it. I get it. I totally understand where they're coming from. I do want to ask you, Evan, because we've talked about the stadium a couple of times, and you know, you kind of mentioned how, you know, we don't know where it's going to be. I mean, all the momentum seems to be in Arlington Heights. Do you think any differently than that at this point as far as the stadium is concerned?
I don't right now. I'll be totally honest. I have not covered I haven't paid attention that much to the location piece of it.
Got you.
But I am very interested in what once the plan gets in place and the Bears understand how much they have to pay for, exactly where it is, what the designs look like, and what the stadium is going to cost. I think I am interested in what that means for ownership. As you guys know, when Virginia McCaskey passed away, there were open questions about how the McCaskey family was going to reconstitute either its shares or its voting rights in a way that was going to keep this team in the family. You played the clip of George earlier in the interview. Mm-hmm. The McCaskeys want to keep this team, obviously.
Yes.
The NFL rules are a little bit tough in that regard, right? So there is some, there have been some movement in the family shares from what I understand, just to get to this point, right, where George is now the control person. And depending on what the stadium structure looks like and how much that's going to cost the team and team owners, there may be more coming in the future. So I'm interested in the stadium stuff. I live in New York, less so from a geographical standpoint, but more from what that actually means once the plans are in place for who owns this team and how much of the team they actually own.
Evan Novy Williams, thank you for this reporting. Thanks for joining us to explain it further. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Evan Novy Williams joining us via the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. He is the deputy editor of Sportico, and I look forward to seeing how this takes shape because having this information is huge. I had no idea the Bears would be worth $8.8 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, as he said, it's the NFL, it's the third largest market, all that stuff, but that number still, $8.8 billion, is jarring. I think the bottom line to really all of this is what he said there at the end. The McCaskies want to continue to own the team. And that was what for decades, okay, there's been whispers when Virginia McCaskey passes away, are the Bears going to sell? Are there going to be a new owner for the Bears? That's not happening. If the Bears ownership continues to comport themselves the way they have in this offseason, mm-hmm. with the hiring of Ben Johnson and what they you know, hiring a president of football operations and Kevin Warren, like if they continue to do what they've been doing this year, I like the direction of where things are going. But that's a big if.
And I also like that Kevin Warren is taking an active role in being team president if it means that George gets to have some fun. I think that's
absolutely
important.
Absolutely.
Especially when your mom has passed away and she's been with you for so long.
Amen.
I think George is allowed to have some fun and enjoy this time.
And I just messed it up, by the way. Ryan Poles is the president, or is the
general
GM.
Manager.
He's the GM, and Kevin Warren is more business guy, not football operations. But you know what I mean.
Warren is president. Ryan Poles is general manager.
They brought in the big guy that you never thought, whether you like him or not, they hired that guy in Kevin Warren that everybody wanted, the massive overseer, and it paid off, I thought, this offseason.
And from what I hear, Kyle Manunga is supreme overlord.
He is.
That's just what I heard.
Manunga.
People are saying.
I'm all in for Kyle Manunga, yes?
Yes.
I missed Wani.
He's back.
He's so back.
Wani's back.
He's
man.
So back. He's tan. He was on the afternoon show. I feel like he promoted his own segment. We're getting there, man.
I can't even handle how back he is.
I can't either.
I can't.
No.
Overwhelmed.
Hey, so every time I do stories with you or shows with you, do you know what happens?
Bears?
Bears.
Bears.
My algorithm is like, hey, Layla, not only do we see you like Bears, the football team, but you seem to like Bears.
I do like Bears.
So a Bears story from Mark Grody for Halftime is coming up next on The Score. Bears.
Raheemian Harris will be back in 60 seconds on The Score.
I'm Bob Burke, founder and chairman of Burke America Parts Group, a family of brands that includes RepairClinic.com, an appliance and HVAC parts solution company that's grown into an international brand. Before AmericanEagle.com, we partially launched a new technology platform developed by another firm. American Eagle helped take our technology to a whole new level with digital marketing, software development, and business insights into our key markets, appliances, HVAC, and outdoor power equipment, and did so both on time and on budget. AmericanEagle.com has the resources, experience, and talent needed to produce solutions. Our new technology platform developed by AmericanEagle.com has produced tremendous results with higher traffic, conversion, engagement, and online revenue. If you have any home repairs you need to take care of, check us out at RepairClinic.com. If you need a world-class website or technology project, then I would highly recommend AmericanEagle.com.
Call AmericanEagle.com at 773-NETWORK. That's AmericanEagle.com, 773-NETWORK.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is indeed halftime here on Raheemi and Harris with Mark Grody and for Marshall on 670 The Score. We talked a lot about Caleb Williams. Not only has he sat down with various media entities, he does that with us at 1 o'clock, by the way. We touched on his sit down with Dan Wiederer. We heard a little bit about what Ben Johnson said on the Hogan Johns podcast about Caleb Williams, and he addressed the viral net drill video. which is just a drill. It's just a drill. And Ben Johnson told us that the starters, at least 9 of them on offense and 9 of them on defense, are not playing in Sunday's game. Tyson Bagent is going to start.
It's on.
So today becomes the major day because it is joint practice day at Hollis Hall, so we'll check in on that as well.
It's halftime.
All right, Mark Grody, I'm going to send this to you via DM. I'm Bear. Sliding into your DMs with Bears.
Slide right on in.
Grody Sports.
Grody Sports.
I know, I forget because you got hacked. Also, have you fixed your Instagram yet?
I mean, I thought it was fixed, and then I got another round of people asking me about my new house that I purchased with cryptocurrency. So I have no idea.
Why are you here? You're loaded. With the amount of Bitcoin you have,
bro,
you should be here.
I know. So I do have an Instagram account up right now. Yeah.
You have a G-Wagon.
It's a new Instagram account. I hate it. It's very upsetting.
Well, the other one...
I lost my Twitter 2 years ago.
Report it and block, because it's also trying to say that you are on Fax 32, and it reposted your post of... Okay, we'll talk offline
about
it.
You gotta stop clicking the link. That's the moral of the story.
I don't click the link.
Also,
don't click
dual the factor link. Authentication, friends.
I have not looked at my old Instagram for ever.
Okay, so I get these bear stories, and yours should be in your DMs now, by the way.
Okay.
And what's happened is, when Grody's on, I like to do stories about bears, whether it's teddy bears, real bears, baby bears. You know the drill.
A bear.
So this one was pretty good, but you have to see the video and react to it.
I'm watching.
In Canada, a bear broke into a house, but was chased out of the house by a Pomeranian. Which is roughly the size of my 40-ounce simple modern tumbler here. How on earth? Like, Pomeranians, I'm always like, what's the point of you, Pom? You're a yip-yap dog. You're fluffy. You look cute, but all you do is yap and yip and yap.
What do they want? But yeah, this little dog just chased this bear right out of the house.
Also, it's a really cute video because the bear just looks like it's snooping around. Like, the bear walks in and it looks like a really large dog. Because, you know, I have this rational or irrational non-fear of bears. So this bear comes into this really nice house and he's just like looking around like a dog would. And you could tell that he was probably looking for some food. And then this teeny little puffball of a Pomeranian chases him off. What are your thoughts, Mark Grody?
I mean, it does the bear coming in there just looks exuberant and happy and like, check out this house right here.
It's a cute little house. Come on a tour.
The dog comes darting out of nowhere. The funny part is the mom coming out of the house chasing the dog and the bear out. But that bear was scared to death of the dog.
Yeah, the bear actually looks like the one in the wrong here. Like, poor little bear's like, oh, guess I got to get out of here.
Poor little bear.
And then the teeny puffball Pomeranian chases the bear, and then the bear not only gets out of the house, but then he gets out of the yard, too.
Do you have new respect for the Pomeranian now? Because I feel like you weren't respecting the Pomeranian just a second ago. Like, what do they want? What is their purpose? Their purpose is to scare bears.
I dated a guy who had a Pomeranian. Bears. His family had a Pomeranian.
Aww.
And he was a nice Pom. His name was Cotton, and he looked like a fluff ball.
Okay.
But then I was just like, Cotton, why do you have all these accidents inside? You know how to go outside.
By the way, I want to mention to people that if you are following me on Instagram, because I don't want people to fall into the trap, it's the where I am right now, the real one, the real me, Mark double underscore Grody. I'm pointing to a dessert with a tan jacket on in my picture. And the only thing I have up on there, that's on there permanently, is a little taste test that I did.
Can we
check out my taste test? What do you think?
Robbie and Ray, I think we have to tell the story about the date we found out that Grody got hacked and what his response was to the hack.
Oh, sorry, Grody. This is now it's coming to there. I shared a one-on-one conversation with Grody, with Layla and Marshall.
This was the day we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
So this was a public. We were in public. We were in the Cubs offices, as a matter of fact, Mark Grody, when... I don't even want to do this.
We were like, oh no, Grody got hacked. And he's like, yeah, he knows. And then he said your answer was...
Why?
That you deleted the app. And I said, well, sir, that's not going to do it. That's not gonna fix
it. And we're all like, no, what are you doing?
Oh, that you guys are making fun of me because
I'm not.
I am not mad. I am not mad.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get it straight. I actually appreciate it. But because I thought deleting the app would take care
of it. Yes, and I let you know that is not the answer.
You're allowed to think I'm an idiot. It's
I
okay.
do not think
it's
you're
okay,
an idiot.
Ray. I can take it.
First of all, here's what we're going to do. You're going to block Mark Grody, who has taken your Instagram. Because that person is still stealing your stuff. And
bank.
Trying, but he's also trying to repost pictures.
He's got all
he
my
doesn't
pictures.
Spell them right.
My pictures are in prison.
Because instead of saying Fox 32, he put Fax 32.
Oh,
there's a special place in hell whoever this person is, over Grody.
I want my pictures back.
I deal with this a lot because people create these like either fake dating profiles or like fake Instagrams of me. And I'm like, I can't make money off of being me. What makes you think you are? So
I can teach you
the ways of how we can thwart this fake Mark Grody.
I love a good thwarting. The biggest problem, I know we got to break, the biggest problem with it is you don't understand where, like, my Instagram is reaching out to people that I haven't talked to for years, and I'm getting texts from people that I haven't heard from years. It's a very, I mean, I haven't shared half of the pain in the ass that this whole thing has been.
You're going to hide your story, you're going to block, and then you're going to ask everybody to report it and block it.
Which is why I thought it would be gone, because a lot of people told me, hey, Mark, I think you got hacked, just so you know. I reported them, and then it was okay for weeks, and now we're back.
The first thing you do is change your password, because it's attached to your email.
After that, I changed all my passwords in my life after this hacking.
No, but did you change your password on your Instagram?
Yes, I did. I did. I actually did the suggested usage, the one that's ZZ, all the crazy letters and numbers and symbols.
Don't tell your password on the air.
I think I know why you got hacked. Yeah.
My password is password 123 bears.
You know the suggested passwords I'm talking about, though.
Caleb touchdown.
That are unmemorable, to say the least. Yeah, I don't know. Why does everyone hack me? They hate the Bears? Is that what's up?
We'll figure it out. But in the meantime, you need to block this account. You need to block this account and try to deactivate. You can also log off on all sessions.
Oh, wait. So just delete the
I'll
app?
Show you.
Or,
no, no, the no. We'll get this sorted out. Also, disable your location on Instagram. Word to the wise.
That's a lot of stuff.
That's another thing for another day. We've got five on it next. A lot of Bears questions, Cubs questions, and more next.